This is 89.1 WEMU. David Fair with you on a Thursday, sitting alongside the executive director and CEO of the Michigan Theater. Russ Collins stops by this time each week to bring you movie information and news. We call it Cinema Chat. Good to see you, my man.
Yeah, good to see you. And it's going to be good to see a Michigan native back in town to do a special event. Bruce Campbell.
From The Evil Dead.
From The Evil Dead, which Sam Raimi directed. It was a bunch of Michigan State students, although I think Bruce Campbell went to Western. But anyway, he's coming to do a live show. It's called Bruce Campbell Live. And he's written a book called Hail to the Chin, Further Confessions of a B-Movie Actor. This guy's done 119 movies, TV shows. He's been very busy, but he wears it on his chest like a badge of honor that he's a B-movie actor.
Almost
he's
as though great. He resists bigger stardom, right? Because this is where I exist.
And he's
great sense of humor about it, too.
Absolutely. And he's coming to town to do a thing called The Last Fan Standing, which is a trivia show. And they're going to have clickers out, and you're going to answer trivia questions on what he calls the four pillars of content: fantasy, horror, sci-fi, and superheroes. And
I would fail all four.
And they'll eventually get down to four players that'll go up on stage and compete against each other.
I can totally see him in the role of pseudo game show
host.
That's
right, exactly. Yeah. So it should be a lot of fun. Everyone that comes, you pay the admission, you're going to get a copy of his book, Hail to the Chin, for the Confessions of a B-Movie
Worth owning
actor.
For the title alone.
Absolutely. And then he's going to stick around afterwards and sign it. So it will be an evening of fun. Wednesday, August 30th. Click on the old internet.
Now, that is a ticketed event. Got to get them in advance.
You should get them in advance, absolutely. Right. So we're entering the end of summer, which means the beginning of the award seasons in the movie
world. It doesn't even happen until next year, but all that talk and buzz is already out there.
Well,
isn't it?
And the Toronto Film Festival has a lot to do with the ramping up of the award season kind of buzz, because that's when a lot of the films that are profiling themselves to get awards are released. But Ann Thompson, who's a very good commentator on the movie industry, entertainment industry, has put out a list or her thoughts about people that may be deserving of Best Actress awards. So Sally Hawkins in Maudie, which has its last screening today at 4:00 at the Michigan Theater. But that's a film that people love, 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 and her performance is amazing. Carey Mulligan in Mudbound, which I saw at Sundance and liked a lot. And Danielle McDonald, who's in Patty Cakes, which we did with Cinetopia, and it's coming back at the end of this month, so you can go check that out. Nicole Kidman in Beguiled, which we showed a little earlier, and then she's also in Todd Haynes' Wonderstruck, which is going to be at Toronto. And then Gal Gadot from Wonder Woman, she had a huge...
Typically, that's not a kind of movie where Oscar consideration is...
Well, she was very good and very appealing on lots of levels. So Israeli actress, you can check that out. Kate Winslet, a regular award nominee.
Indeed.
The Mountain Between Us. And then my thought about the Oscar in terms of Best Actress is they should just give the Meryl Streep Award, which means Meryl Streep gets
wins
an Oscar
every
year. And then they give out another one to the Best Actress. So Meryl Streep is going to be in a Steven Spielberg Watergate drama called The Papers, so she'll probably be up there in those discussions. And Annette Bening, who actually got shut out of a nomination last year with some excellent performances, is coming back with another Toronto Film Festival film called Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool.
Well, it's still very early, so more will be added to the list, and some of those will fall off as we move towards the official award season
but
and the start of the new year.
Yeah, some stuff to look out for as you're looking towards that.
Indeed, you are listening to Cinema Chat on your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU. David Fair with Russ Collins, and we have a new movie opening up called Landline, which I'm a big fan of John Turturro, so this might be right up my alley.
Yeah, so Gillian Robespierre, who was a Columbia University student, put together a film that made a big splash, Obvious Child, and her star of that film was Jenny Slate, so it put both of them on the map. And this film goes back to those days, it's hard to believe, the 1990s, before there were cell phones.
Right.
I mean, before everybody had a cell phone. And it's about a relationship between John Turturro and the woman that plays his wife and their two daughters who are, you know, 20-something daughters. Actually, one's of 20-something, and one's just graduating from high school. And they think that their father's having an affair, and so they want to find out, but they don't want anyone to know. And then all kinds of complications come around, and it's before the era of cell phones, which is why it's referred to as landline.
Landline, right, exactly. When you had a 3-foot cord and you had to talk in front of your parents at all times.
At all times. Right. So the critical consensus is excellent, 72% positive reviews, 73% positive reviews from audiences. And again, it's kind of surprising that the reviewers and the audiences line up in terms of how much they like this. But it's fast paced. They really like the work of the director and Jenny Slate. And it's a charming multi generational family dramedy that overcomes some familiar family storyline type stuff.
Still a couple of films playing that you can see if you have not as of yet. There was a big rollout to the sequel to An Inconvenient Truth last week. How did that go?
Oh, it went very well. Lots of folks have been coming to see An Inconvenient Sequel, which is Al Gore and his documentary film team's
Truth
follow-up.
To Power.
Yeah, Truth to Power of Inconvenient Truth. And it's a follow-up on both the work and coverage that they did in An Inconvenient Truth, but also looking to other places that have started to deal quite effectively with the kinds of things that affect global warming. And so it's got a positive message as well as having just hard information about what's going on with our planet. So go check that out. Everyone should check
that out. The Big Sick seems to span the generations. Took my 18-year-old daughter to see it. I loved it. She loved it. It was universal.
Yep, absolutely. Kamal Nanjiani is the comedian that put this together. Now, he's in Social Network on TV, but it's based on his real-life story, and he was a stand-up comedian, a fan of his in the club that he worked get together, and then their relationship is kind of back and forth. She ends up getting sick, and they had already broken up, but he gets involved with her parents, just in terms of they're all concerned about her very severe illness. He was born in Pakistan but grew up in the United States, and his parents are very, very traditional in the way that they approach. And it's a family comedy. Holly Hunter's great. Ray Romano's great. Zoe Kazan, who plays the girlfriend.
No matter what age you are or what gender you are, you will find a character to which you can relate, and the circumstances are, again, universal. It's a great movie.
It's gone over very well. And then we're going to go flash back to the days when the Michigan Theater first opened, 1928, Steamboat Bill Jr., which is a Buster Keaton film, and one of the classics of silent film, are going to be presented two times on Sunday at 1:30.
He may still be the best stuntman that ever lived.
Yeah, he's called the Great Stone Face because he doesn't have any expression on his face, except there's a lot of expression in the way that the movie plays
right
out. But it also, it revealed a certain kind of nature of filmmaking and his acting style contributed to that. So on Sunday at 1:30 or Tuesday at 7 o'clock, a live musical accompaniment, live organ accompaniment by Andrew Rogers, our great, great organist, is going to play out. So go check that out. It's a lot of fun. And the David Lynch After Dark tonight, we do Dune, which is based on the Frank Herbert novel.
Sting is in that, isn't he?
He is, and it's directed by David Lynch.
Yeah, Sting. I'm out.
And then Blue Velvet, which is maybe
the
best
and
most acclaimed film, is a week from today.
The Glass Castle is getting amazing reviews, and I can't wait to go see it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's based on a novel, and the reviews are actually split on this. The author's name is Walls, and the story is very crisply told. The film is kind of maybe overinterprets the original work.
As I hear it, there are Oscar performances contained in this movie.
Yes, Woody Harrelson is in this film, and Brie Larson, and a great follow-up to her film last year. And then Annabelle Creation, this film's gotten very strong reviews, and it just goes to prove that freaky-looking dolls are terrifying in whatever way they're presented. And then the animated film of the week is Nut Job 2,
Nutty by Nature.
Great voice cast, Will Arnett, Catherine Hagel, Jackie Chan, and Maya Rudolph.
A lot of choices out there. Why don't you take a little time this weekend for yourself and go see something good? Hollywood. I'm David Fair, and for Russ Collins, we thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Cinema Chat on 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.
Ta-ta from Hollywood.